God, we are so thankful that you are who you are. And God, we're thankful that you know everything about us. God, you know when we're hurting. You know when we're struggling. You know us by name, and you've called us all by name. God, you know how many hairs are on our head. You know every thought we have, and you know every possible thought that we can have. And for that, God, we thank you because it means you love us. And God, we are so thankful that you love us. We're so thankful that you want to know us more. God, we're thankful that you love us, and it doesn't matter what we do, you're not going to stop chasing after us, and you're not going to stop loving us. God, your love is amazing. It's incomprehensible. And there's nothing that can compare to it. So God, for your love, we thank you so much. God, we love you. God, be with the rest of our service today. Father, speak to us where we need to be spoken to. God, impact in our lives what you want to impact. Father, we give you the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. You know, sometimes I wish I disconnected from TSN. Because when you first pop it up and you click the button, then you see John Tavares gets signed by Toronto, and you're not sure how the rest of your service is going to go after you read that. Not a Maple Leaf fan. Sorry. And not a Canadiens fan either. Good morning. We have some guests. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Dave. I'm the young 18-year-old pastor that's here, and my kids tell me I'm 100. So today, we're going to start a bit of a shorter series called I Am Jesus. I don't think I am Jesus, but that's just the name of the series. So don't worry. We're not going to go all crazy on you this week or next. So we're going to study the four of the seven I am statements. So what is an I am statement? John's gospel gave us seven different pictures of who Jesus is. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father but by me. Jesus also said, I am the bread of life. If you eat me, you will never be hungry again. He said, I am the gate, or I am the door by which you enter, by how you get to heaven. So next week, we're going to study the statement where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd who lays his life down for his sheep. And then we're going to talk about, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And then the final week, we're going to look at the statement where he said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, what does Jesus tell us? What can we do without Jesus? Nothing. So today we're going to look at an I am statement from John 11, 25. Which we're going to talk a bit about Lazarus. But let's talk a little bit about this context first. So we know three things about Jesus when he finds out about Lazarus. And that Lazarus has passed away. We hear about the tears of Jesus, the anger of Jesus, and the grace of Jesus from these scriptures. So what do we learn? When Jesus reaches Mary. She asks him, Lord, why weren't you here? Lord, you could have stopped this. You could have saved Lazarus. And she asked him a question, but he couldn't even speak. He was so sad. He just wept. All he could do is ask, where have you laid him? He's troubled. Jesus is deeply moved by what's transpired. First, he comes in knowing why it happened. He knows how he is going to turn it all into this manifestation of the glory of God. He knows what he's going to do. And that in 10 minutes he'll be rejoicing. So when we enter as people into tragic situations that go on around us, we have no idea what's going to happen, though, do we? And the second thing we know about Jesus is he has power. He can do something about the problem. You and I, physically, we can't do anything about the problem. We can pray, but other than that, we really can't do anything about the problem. We can't fix it, can we? Yet Jesus still weeps. And when we think about what's kind of transpired here in Rosetown on Friday, you know, that gives us an understanding that because Jesus wept, it gives us the freedom to weep. We can still be sad. We can have hurt. We can carry hurts because Jesus wept for his friend. Then we read about how Jesus was angry. Not very often do we talk about Jesus and his anger. In verse 33, when Jesus saw Mary and the others weeping, it says he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. In verse 38, as Jesus came to the tomb, it says he was deeply moved. So when you read that, he was deeply moved in spirit and trouble, what does that say in the original Greek? It says he quaked with rage. Jesus was angry. And when verse 38, when it says he was deeply moved, the Greek words there would mean to roar or snort with anger like a lion or a bull. So, in times of hurt, in times of struggle, we can understand that our Jesus, our King, had tears. Our King, our Savior, was angry. But you know what else? We can talk about the grace of Jesus. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, his enemy said, now this guy's got to go. He is the most dangerous man there is, and we got to get rid of him now. Don't you think Jesus knew raising Lazarus from the dead was going to put an X on his back? Jesus knew it, and he made the deliberate choice to still do something. He knew the only way to interrupt Lazarus' funeral was to cause his own. The only way to bring Lazarus out of the grave was to bury himself. The only way he could get Lazarus out of death was for him to be killed. And he knew that. But that's the picture of the gospel. We have a God who is so committed to ending suffering and death that he was willing to come to this earth and share in the suffering, share in the death himself. And when someone says, I don't know that God really cares about our suffering, you can say he does. Because we read about it with his tears and with his anger, but how he brought grace. He does. He was willing to let himself suffer. We don't understand why God still allows us to go through suffering and why there's evil, but the fact that he has been willing to be involved and that he himself, God himself, involved so that he died on the cross shows me that he cares. He is not remote and he is not far away from us. So that's some background into who Jesus was with Lazarus and the emotions that he felt. I got to put a screw in there. It's going to bug me. So John 11:25-26, we read, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies, and the one who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you? So what exactly is a resurrection? A resurrection, just to be clear, so we're all on the same page, is what? When something dies and then is raised back to life. It's funny, we saw a bit of a resurrection here Friday. We're working on the stage and Lyle and I were talking. All of a sudden we heard a thunk and there was a bird. Hit the window, hit the door. And it was laying there. Pretty much motion. I don't think it was moving. And Lyle gave it some CPR and mouth to mouth. You washed your mouth off before you went home and kissed Elaine, right? But he gave that bird a little pep up and away it went. It was back to life. Obviously, I think it was just knocked out cold. It was a loud thud. But it was back. It came. It had life back in its body. It wasn't just laying there. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And when he said this, a lot of people don't understand that he actually said it in the context of a much broader story about another guy who died but didn't stay dead. And that was Lazarus. So we're going to look at three different ways that many of us die on the inside and see how the resurrection of Jesus brings that dead back to life. So, John 11, verse 1 is where we're going to start. I have to make my screen bigger so I can read it. And this is what the Bible says. Now, a certain man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. Now, it was Mary who anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and wiped his feet dry with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So, Our sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, look, the one you love is sick. And when Jesus heard, he said, this sickness will not lead to death, but to God's glory, and that the Son of God may be glorified through it. This is a bad news story in the middle of a good life. And unfortunately, if I pause for a moment and acknowledge, although there are a lot of people that are celebrating a lot of good things, a lot of people that are hurting. They've heard similar bad news. Maybe even things like someone you love is sick. Someone that you're close to has cancer. Someone you love has passed away. Maybe your job is going away. You got some bad news, something that's not favorable. But when he heard this, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. And then he says, it's for God's glory, so that what? So that his son may be glorified through it. The very thing that you would never want to happen, and God is going to bring glory to himself through the worst news that you could ever imagine. Now we'll come back to that verse, but I'm going to give you a quick summary of 5-14. Actually, I have it written down next for you so you can read it. I forgot I put it there for you. Just for you guys, so I don't have to give you just a summary. So now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he remained in the place where he was to go for 2 more days. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples replied, "Rabbi, the Jewish leaders were just now trying to stone you to death. Are you going there again?" And Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks around by the daylight, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks around at night, he stumbles because the light is not with him." And he said this. After he said this, he added, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." Then the disciples replied, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had been talking about his death, but they thought he was talking about a real sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died." So let's paraphrase. Let's tell you. Basically, everybody believes Jesus is coming to help. But what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do when he hears that Lazarus is sick and dying? He stays there. He does nothing. For 2 days, he does nothing. He just hangs out, doesn't he? He does nothing. They're freaking out. And what's Jesus doing? Jesus is hanging out. 2 days later, he says to the disciples, "Okay, guys, let's go. Let's go back to Judea." And they say, "No, they're going to kill you," which probably would have been true. But he says, "No, Lazarus has fallen asleep. We need to go wake him up." He gave them this metaphor. So we're going to look at 3 different characters in this story. One of the disciples, Thomas. And then we're going to look at Mary, one of the sisters. And then the other sister, Martha. And we're going to look at these 3 ways of dying inside. So Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Dead in your doubts, Thomas. So in verse 16, it says, "Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go that we may die with him.'" It's pretty negative, isn't it? It's pretty doubting. Have you ever had spiritual doubts in your life? I'm the only one, yeah? Sorry, I'm failing you guys if I'm the only one. No, right? We've all had a spiritual doubt in our life. And if you're like, "No, not me," I'll bring you a cloth and we can polish your halo up that you've never had a doubt in your life. We've all had it though, right? Maybe you feel like I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and nothing's happening. Some days I feel like that right now with this house sale. We're praying, we're trusting, and nothing's happening. We're not even getting a showing right now. And it's like, okay, what's going on, God? But you know what? You keep trusting. And you don't lose faith. But everybody I know at some point prayed some prayer and believed God would do something, and he didn't. And boom. They're bombarded with doubts. Why didn't he do this? Did I not have enough faith? Did I not do this? You know what? I bet it is. I probably didn't tithe. That's why this is happening. It has nothing to do with it. Perhaps you believed. Something like, "Well, if God is so good, why would he let this happen? If he's all powerful, why didn't he stop this?" And suddenly you're like Thomas, and there's something on the inside a little bit dead in your life. A little bit dead in your doubts. I know sometimes that's a struggle we go through. I've been going through especially. is being dead in my doubts, because I'm just like, this house. You know? You know what I mean? Are you guys following me? You feel a little bit dead in your doubts. But maybe some of you aren't like that. Maybe some of you are a little bit like Mary, and you're dead in your discouragement. It says in chapter 11, verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. You know what Mary's like? Mary's like, why bother? I don't need to go see Jesus. Lazarus is dead already. Why bother? There's nothing he can do about it anyway. And that, hey, I don't need to see him. He's let it happen. Jesus let this happen. We called him. He didn't come. Where was he? I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to drink my tea. I'm going to wallow in my pity. Maybe eat a crumpet or biscuit. I don't know. Maybe you are a little bit like that. And you think, I can't change anything anyways. I'm always going to feel this way. I'm always going to be a little bit depressed and down. I'm always going to be stuck in this dead-end job. I'm always going to be stuck here. This isn't going to get any better. Oh, I'm never going to get healed. And you're just discouraged and downtrodden and beat up. But you know what? You're here, right? So we can't show it, though, because we can't show this. We can't show weakness. This is number one key. You can't show weakness. So you come and you put on your nice clothes and you look good. Some of you got the Christian language going on. And how you doing? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Things are great. When you know what? Things aren't so great. Things are a little tough sometimes. But you're smiling on the outside when you're crying on the inside, right? And you're really, really discouraged. And you don't need to be. Because we're going to talk about this in a second. That's my cliffhanger in a few minutes. Then, so you're not like Thomas. Maybe you're not like Thomas at all. Maybe you're not like Mary at all. Maybe you're just dead in the delay, like Martha. Maybe like you're just like Martha and you're dead in the delay. It says in verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been put in the tomb for 4 days. And then in verse 21, we jump down and it says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha was dead in the delay. God, you took too long. Why didn't you just show up a few days earlier? Jesus, you should have been here. You abandoned us. You left us high and dry. You ever feel that way? Why did he take so long? So in verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for how long? 4 days. Why does this matter? What does 4 days matter? I told Stacy about this. It's interesting. So, when Martha was living back in this day, there was this commonly held belief that the spirit would hang around the body for 3 days after someone died. It wasn't the Christian belief, but it was just a common belief of normal people. For 3 days, the spirit would just hang out around the body. It's kind of weird. And at 4 days, spirit left. Because 4 days, hey, I'm out of here. So in her mind, Lazarus wasn't just mostly dead. He was all the way dead. He was dead, dead. He was dead for his 3 days and then some. So dead that later in the story, Martha tried to describe the smell of how his body was. In the King James, if you're a King James fan, you'll love this. It actually says that he stinketh. Lazarus stinketh. Mel, is that a holy stink? Lazarus stinketh. Are you feeling dead in the delay? Praying for a loved one, maybe? Maybe you're praying for a healing. Maybe it's praying for a house to sell. Maybe it's praying for you fill in the blank to whatever you're praying for and you're waiting for. I want to tell you guys something. Thursday night, was I in the lounge? I was not drinking in the lounge. We were watching the football game, and then that's usually where we hang out so we can have a break from the kids, because it's the only place in the hotel that's quiet. And so Stacy went up, and I was like, I got nothing. Like, I have something, but I really don't have something. So I don't know. I was like, what am I going to talk about? So we're just praying, and this kind of came to me, and it says God's delays are not God's denials. Let me repeat that. When you're praying and you haven't received what you've been asking for in prayer, God's delays are not God's denials. If you're waiting, keep waiting. God hasn't said no. Maybe he just said not yet. As people, how many of you like to hear not yet? Because you know what? Those of you with kids or those of you who have been around kids, Dad, can I have a Slurpee? Maybe. What does maybe mean to a kid? My kids, it means yes. When? Let's go get a Slurpee. Dad, let's go get a Slurpee. You promised, Dad. No, I said maybe, or I said not yet in a little while. But you told me I got a Slurpee. No, I didn't. I said not yet. I said maybe later. No, you said yes. You promised. Guys, God's delays are not his denials. It says in John 11:22, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask for. Whatever you ask for. It may not always look like you think it's going to look, but he's going to give you what you ask for. If you're feeling lonely, God's your comforter. If you're feeling confused, God's your Prince of Peace. If you have a financial need, what is God? He's your provider. If your family's broken, God's going to be the one that puts the pieces together. If you have a hard heart or calloused heart towards God, guess what God's going to do? If you ask and you wait, he's going to soften your heart. John 11:23-26. Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So we started today with. Guys, far too long we've treated the resurrection as if it's an event. As if it's something that's happened. Guess what? The resurrection is not an event. It's a person, and his name is Jesus. The resurrection is a person. Jesus didn't say, I am able to resurrect, did he? Is that what he said? What did he say? I am the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. Do you believe? What happened? Oops. Jesus told them, what? Take that stone away. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, take off the grave cloths and let him go. That's John 11, 43 and 44. He is the resurrection. If my God can defeat death, what can't he do? Nothing. My God can do anything. Do you believe this? It's real because it's written there. He is the resurrection. Do you believe this? Guys, I'm going to encourage you. Don't be like Thomas and be dead in your doubts. Don't be like Mary and be dead in your discouragement. Don't be like Martha and be dead in the delay. Believe that our God, our Jesus, is the resurrection. And believe it with every part of you. Allow him to be Lord of your life and lead you and guide you. Live like he is the resurrection because he says he is. And what he says is truer than anything else. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you are the resurrection. And Father, that we don't have to wallow in doubt. We don't have to wallow in despair. That we don't have to worry about the delay because that is not your denial. God, we thank you that you are who you say you are. And God, because you are the resurrection, you bring us new life. And God, you bring us life abundantly. And Father, what I'm going to ask is if any of us have been struggling with this, God, we're just going to hold it up to you. And we are just going to give this to you. And we are going to have faith and stand firm and believe that you are who you say you are and you are the resurrection. And you are going to take whatever is holding us back, whatever is causing us death in our heart, whether it be that delay, God, whether it be that doubt, God, if it's that discouragement or despair, it is yours. It is no longer ours to hold and bear. Because you are the resurrection, and we thank you for that, Jesus. You give us hope. You give us life. When we look around and think things are just going tough, they're going to chaos, you are the resurrection. And God, we thank you for that. God, we give you authority in our lives. We trust you. And we love you, Jesus. God, thank you for loving us. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the cross. And thank you for bringing life to us. Abundant, whole life. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You guys.